Welcome. We are glad you have joined us. May you be blessed this evening. Tonight, we have a special program. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us and for Jesus the Savior. Bless the speakers and the music tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Now the sermons.
On November 19, 1863, President Lincoln stood at Gettysburg, where one of the biggest battles of the Civil War had been fought just 4 months earlier. He spoke words that are still remembered today.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure.
By this time, people must have wondered if the war would ever end and if it was really worth it. Lincoln reminded them,
"It is for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we can take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth."
The Civil War cost the lives of 680,000 soldiers. This was a lot.
Lincoln was right. We remain the United States of America. Our nation did find the new birth of freedom. Under God, it has not perished from the earth.
There is another war going on. It has been going on for thousands of years, and some wonder if it is worth fighting.
Many may not even be aware this war is going on because it is not always a war we can see.
This war is behind all human conflict. We were born on battlefield Earth in the middle of a battle much larger than Gettysburg.
The war behind all wars is the civil war of the whole universe. Right now, the universe is divided on two sides.
On one side stands God, the creator of heaven and earth, and those loyal to him.
On the other side stands Satan, a fallen angel who rebelled against God.
The story of the war behind all wars helps to make sense out of many questions we have.
Oh, tonight, in our theater of the universe, the stage curtains will be pulled back to reveal the war behind all wars and Satan, the one who started it.
We will look at three passages from the Bible that show the conflicts between good and evil on the universal, national, and personal levels.
In Job chapters 1 and 2, we are told about the fight as it looks to the whole universe.
Ezekiel 28 reveals Satan's control of nations.
Genesis 3 shows how Satan attacks people and how we can escape his temptations.
Act 1 of the drama has begun. We look up to find ourselves standing center stage in the theater of the universe.
The first two chapters of Job show that this war affects the whole universe. Are you ready to get involved in intergalactic politics?
Let us read together all texts on the screen. Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil.
He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large amount of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East.
The scene that begins with a good man on earth now shifts to an evil being in heaven's universal council.
We look up to find ourselves standing in the cosmic council where representatives from all the created worlds have gathered.
Here, another round in the war between God and Satan takes place.
One day, the angels come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came to them. The Lord said to Satan,
"Where have you come from?"
What is going on? Why is Satan up in heaven at the Universal Council?
Why was he down on earth?
These questions will be answered as we go along.
For now, we should know that Satan is on earth because he was forced out of heaven after raising a rebellion against God. In the days of Job, Satan made himself earth's representative.
Where have you come from? God asks Satan.
Satan sneers. Oh, I've been roaming around on earth. Adam can't be here. He ate your forbidden fruit and died. So I'll just stand in for him today, since he gave earth into my power.
God doesn't throw Satan out, but he doesn't acknowledge his boastful claims either.
How can Satan pretend to be earth's leader?
God says to Satan, while you were down there roaming around on earth, did you happen to run into my man, Job? He is a very good human, Satan.
Job was the person most loyal to his maker in his day. That's why God pointed to him in front of the watching eyes of the whole universe.
Satan promptly questioned Job's loyalty in front of the council.
You protect Job and all he has, Satan hissed. You give him anything he could want. No wonder he worships you. You're not playing fair, God.
The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord.
Satan soon attacked everything Job held dear.
He sent raiders to steal all Job's livestock and kill his servants.
Satan burnt up Job's sheep and shepherds, killing all but the one.
He sent a mighty wind sweeping in from the desert to blow the house down on Job's 7 sons and 3 daughters. It collapsed, and they all died.
Satan controls the thoughts and actions of bad men, and even nature. He causes hurricanes and terrorist attacks, but he can only go as far as God allows.
Satan is a mean dog, but he's on a strong leash.
It wasn't God hurting Job. It was the devil who did it. What did Job do when he heard he lost all he had? The Bible says.
Let's read together. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In this, all Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Job didn't know what we know. He didn't know that that the watching eyes of all the angels were watching him.
But Job showed Satan up. By his loyalty to God, Job made God look good.
You might think Satan would give up, but no. Satan and God faced off again. God said to the devil,
"Let us read together. Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil."
Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face.
The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life."
Let us read together. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes.
Job was in pain from head to toe.
His sad wife raged, "Curse God and die!"
"Don't speak like a foolish woman, honey," said Job, scraping an ugly boil with a broken clay pot.
Job's friends came to offer their comfort, but they soon told Job it was his fault.
In the end, Job begged God to kill him.
Job wanted God to explain what was going on.
God had the last word in the story of Job.
Job was granted a visit with God. As his friends listened in, God spoke with him and chided his friends for their wrong words.
Let us read together. He said, "I heard about you with my ears. Now I have seen you with my eyes. I repent every word of complaint about everything that has befallen me. To see my Creator is enough. You are my Maker, and all you do is right and good."
Strangely enough, God never told Job what we know. He never told Job that by his loyalty he had proved God was right and Satan was wrong.
Job had made his Maker look good. He was God's hero.
God gave his hero a personal interview. Then our Creator restored Job's former blessings. Everything Job had lost, he got back again.
We see the war behind all wars in the story of Job. Now let's look at this battle on a national level.
Tyre was the nation where wicked Queen Jezebel's father was the priest king.
Two separate beings are addressed in Ezekiel's 28th chapter. The first was the human ruler of Tyre, the king who sat on his throne. The Bible addresses this human first.
The prophet speaks to the ruler of Tyre.
Let us read together. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a man and not a god. Through you, think you are wise as a god. God goes on to address a proud, powerful man who thought no one could be better than him, not even God. But the ruler of Tyre was really nothing more than a puppet on the strings of Satan himself.
Let's listen in as God speaks to Satan, the real king of Tyre.
Let us read together. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, and take up a laminate concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God.
Satan is a created being, not an equal to God. Our Creator also made Lucifer a perfect angel of amazing beauty.
God says to Satan, You are blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you through your widespread trade. The Hebrew word translated trade here can also mean slander, lying about someone in order to hurt them. Through your widespread slander, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, among the fiery stones.
Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor.
Are you smart? Don't be proud or think you're someone special. Every good gift can be used in a bad way if we forget the giver.
God continues to speak to Satan. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade.
Remember that the Hebrew word for trade may also be translated slander.
By your dishonest slander, you have desecrated your sanctuaries.
Satan was in charge of worship. He used to be the keeper of the sanctuaries in heaven before he was kicked out and landed on our earth. Here he got what he couldn't get in heaven, all the worship for himself.
What would be Satan's end? Listen in as God himself speaks of Satan's final end. God says, let us read together. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you, yeah. And you to ashes on the ground, in the sight of all the nations who were watching. All nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more.
Satan is not in charge of the fires of hell. Instead, he is burned up in those flames.
The only way people are destroyed in those flames is if they choose to join Satan.
Now let's see how Satan came to have so much influence on earth. We can find the story in the third chapter of Genesis. Let us
read together. The Bible says, now the serpent is more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?
The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or else you will die.
You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Notice Satan's original lie as he first hissed it to Eve.
Sin won't really kill you. You won't really die if you disobey God. Sin will make you like God, knowing good and evil.
Notice four things Satan did towards his maker in the process of tempting Eve.
First, Satan mocked God.
Did God really say?
Hear the scorn in his voice.
Second, Satan misquoted God.
You must not eat from any tree in the garden.
Is God starving you here in Eden, Eve? Did he tell you not to eat from any tree?
Third, Satan did not believe God.
You will not surely die.
This is a lie. There is no such thing as a sinner who never dies.
Fourth, Satan misrepresented God.
For God knows that when you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
God is keeping something from you, Eve. He knows this fruit will make you like him. He has his own best interest at heart, not yours. Satan says, listen to me. I'll give you the sweetest fruit, the best things of the life. Please believe me, not the Creator. Sadly, Eve listened.
See what sin does to people.
First, sin affects our relationships in five ways.
First, sin changes our relationship with God, with ourselves.
Let us read together. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed together and made coverings for themselves.
Then Adam and Eve ate from the tree. Then looked on their own bodies, they were ashamed. They made coverings from fig leaves.
Have you ever looked at yourself with disgust? There is a reason for that. It is called sin.
Second, sin changes our relationship with God.
Let us read together. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?"
He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid."
And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?"
Then God came walking in the garden in the when God came walking in the garden in the evening, Adam and Eve didn't come running to meet him. They ran and hid.
Have you ever been ashamed to pray? Reluctant to go to church, or unwilling to read the Bible? There is a reason for that. It is sin.
Third, sin changes our relationship with other people.
The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit of the tree, and I ate it."
Adam blamed Eve. Before he sinned, she seemed too precious for him to lose. Now Adam was ready to blame her for everything.
Is there anyone you don't get along with? Don't blame God. It is sin that separates us from each other.
Fourth, sin changes nature.
To Adam, God said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food."
Man, Man and nature no longer cooperated with each other.
It wasn't always this way.
This isn't God's first plan.
Man's problems with his environment came with sin.
Fifth, sin changes our whole lives.
God told Adam he must battle earth for his bread by the sweat of his brow. Until you return to the ground, since from it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return.
God made us to live forever, but we die because of sin.
Let us read together. The word of God says, "The Lord God made garments of sin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.'"
There is no immortal sinner. God made sure of that. When Adam had sinned, he was immediately kept away from the tree of life. So Adam and Eve began to die.
We might easily ask, what hope is there? We certainly can't fix our environment or ourselves, but we do have hope.
What about us? Will we stay as we are, or will we find freedom from Satan and all the trouble he has made?
We know the answer. Jesus said, So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Tonight, we ask you to pledge for the first time or to renew your loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ.
We invite you to sign up for God's side in the war behind all wars. If you wish to promise your faithfulness to King Jesus in the battle against evil, please stand.
Next Saturday night, our subject will be Faces Carved in Stone and the Mirror of the Almighty.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for letting us learn the truth about the great controversy between good and evil. Without your word to let us understand what is going on, this world could be a very confusing place. Please be with us. Please be with each one who is choosing your side of the battle. Accept their decision in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd like to invite those who have made a decision either for the first time or are renewing a decision to enlist on God's side in the battle between good and evil to come forward.
Thanks for being here this evening for Let Freedom Ring. Come again next time and bring a friend.
What do we do? Thank you.
We have a few giveaways tonight, and I'm wondering if we have are there any kids that are here tonight that live in Brookings? Raise your hands. Brookings, raise your hand. Okay, I need some helpers to come help me pass these out. How many hands from Brookings? You got four? Okay, give out one each of those. We have some scripture art for you. And how about Gold Beach? Anybody come from Gold Beach area tonight? All right, please give one to Jessica. And how about Crescent City? Raise your hand from Crescent City. Okay, see there's hands. That'll be, we got another hand over there. Okay, there's actually three posters in each one. So we've got a hand over here, Christopher. Give one, Julian, there, and there's three posters in each one, so you can share them. And they'll have enough. Bring it over here, Christopher. Come to them. There's three in each one. And so we hope that we haven't missed anybody. If we did, we have some more that we can give you at when we dismiss. But we're not finished. There's one more thing. So, Kaylee.
Our program is over, but we invite you to join us downstairs for some refreshments. Good night, and God bless you.